Today's shiur being delivered for Parshat Pinchas is entitled Pinchas Hu Eliyahu. However, it is subtitled, and this is where the insight of the shiur, I believe, becomes most relevant, Pinchas Hu Eliyahu Hu Moshe Rabbeinu. In Bamidbar Kaf Hei, Yud Yud Bet, we have the statement, Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Pinchas Ben Elazar Ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv Et Chamati Me'al Bnei Yisrael B'Kano Et Kinati B'Tocham, V'Chiliti Et Bnei Yisrael B'Kinati, L'Chein Amor Hinu Noten Lo Et Briti Shalom. As we know, Chazal tell us that Pinchas came forward to stop the terrible desecration of God's name that was taking place through the sexual immorality and also the idolatry being carried out by Bnei Israel at the hands of the women of Moab and Midian, leading to the Avodah Zarah Baal Peor. And we know that Chazal identify Pinchas with Eliyahu. How do we know this? In Malachim Aleph Yud Tet, Tet to Yud Aleph, we are told, Vayavo Sham Elam Ara, Vayelen Sham Vinei Devar Hashem Elav, Vayomer La Malacha Po Eliyahu. God confronts Eliyahu and asks him what he's doing. Vayomer Kano Kineti Lashem Elokei Tzivakos, Ki Azavu Beritcha Bnei Yisrael Et Mizbechotecha Charasu Ve Nevi'echa Haragu Becherev Vivater Ani Levadi Vayivakshu Et Nafshi Lekachta. So Eliyahu responds that he is being zealous for Hashem. That's what concerns us. And in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the end of Perek Kaftet, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did God say to Eliyahu? What was he really saying? He was saying, Leolam atamikaneh, you are always being zealous. Peshiti ma'galu yavayot, shenemar Pinchas ben Lazar, v'kan. He says that you were zealous in the case of Pinchas, you were zealous then, and now you are also zealous. This identifies Pinchas and Eliyahu. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, in the name of the Midrash, Bekano et Kinati, Shtei Kinaot. It's being emphasized that there were two acts of zealotry. Ha'achat Kan, one here, in Parshas Pinchas, V'ya'achat Shati L'Kaneh B'Yimei Achav, and the second which would take place at the time of Achav. The Me'am Loes to Malachim Bet on Daf Yudalid says the following: Ukeshem Shemoshe Nemar Bo Alita Lamarom, and just like it says in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu that he was told to go up to the heavens, Kach Eliyahu Alamarom. So too Eliyahu went up to the heavens. Shemoshe VeEliyahu Hayu Shavim Zelazeh B'Chol Davar. For Moshe and Eliyahu were equals in all things. V'zehu shamu chazal at notze shemoshe v'Eliyahu hayu shavim zelazeh b'chol davar. You find that they were in fact the same, because I'll tell us, Moshe Navi, Eliyahu Navi, they were both prophets. Moshe nikra ish Elohim, v'Eliyahu nikra ish Elohim, they were both called a man of God. Moshe alalamala v'Eliyahu alalamala, they both went up to the heavens. Moshe nikalkela yidei isha v'Eliyahu nikalkela yidei ben atzarfati, they're both supported by their wives. Moshe barach mibnei paro v'Eliyahu barach mibnei Isabel, they both ran away from the monarchs of the countries they were in. Moshe barach uvala ever v'Eliyahu barach uvala ever, they both ran away and they came to wells. Moshe Baikasehu Anan Shiva Yamim Beliyahu Allah Bisara. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, was covered by the cloud for 7 days, and Eliyahu was covered by the clouds of the storm that took him to the heavens at the time of his leaving this earth. In Malachim Aleph, Daf Reish Tzadi Dalet, the Ve'am Lois adds, V'nemar Yivinei Hashem Over, it says that God would pass. Kavod Hashem Over Lefanav, it means the glory of God would pass before him. This is speaking about Eliyahu. Just like it said about Moshe, that God would pass him, and he cried out. Also, Malachim Bet, Daf Tedvav, and the Miam Loes. The leaving of Eliyahu from this earth took place as well, we are told, at the same place where Moshe Rabbeinu left this earth. And consequently, again showing the equality, as it says here clearly, incredibly, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Hanavi. I would like to add to this thought with my own ideas. We know that not only did they both have Nevuah, did they both have prophecy, as we were told before, but they both had them at the same place. One at Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Eliyahu at Chorev also, which is Sinai. We know that in both situations, both of these great prophets called upon Klal Yisrael to make a choice between either the foreign god or the Ribono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu did this in Parshat Ki Tisah when they were worshiping the golden calf, and he said, Mi Lashem Eli, whoever is for God, come to me. We have to make a division here between those who are for the golden calf happened to those who are for Hashem. And so too, Eliyahu, in the case of the Baal and the priests at Carmel, says, Ad matay atem poschim al shtei ha-sifim? How long will you consider to pass over these two elements, these two choices? You have to choose. You cannot worship both the Baal and the Ribono Shel Olam, exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking in that tone. Furthermore, we know that just as Moshe Rabbeinu redeemed Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, so too is Eliyahu part of the Geula of the ultimate redemption in the end of days. Just as not only did they leave the earth from the same place as the recent source we saw just said, but also in terms of both of them, they did not die natural deaths, and there's a mystery that surrounds them, so that in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that no one knows where he was buried. In fact, no one saw him die. He just kind of went over the hill. And in the case of Eliyahu, we know that also there's a mystery in that he did not die, but he went up into the heavens and disappeared. Now, we've thereby established with Chazal the notion, we said, first of all, that Pinchas, hu Eliyahu. That's clear from Chazal. We have now shown other sources that indicate that Eliyahu, hu Moshe Rabbeinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu, hu Eliyahu, surprisingly. That would lead us then, through association, through the possible consideration, that Pinchas, hu Moshe Rabbeinu, that there is an equivalence as well between Pinchas and Moshe Rabbeinu. And I would like to make an argument for, in fact, that being the case. Starting from the most shocking thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did while in Mitzrayim, it says that he saw an Egyptian beating a Jew, Vayar ki ein ish, and he saw that there was no one there, leaving Rashi's comment aside, but the Pashup Shat, he saw that there was no one there who came forward to stop this terrible crime, and consequently Moshe Rabbeinu stopped it. So too with Pinchas. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar. We are told at the end of the previous parsha of Balak that Pinchas saw that this terrible desecration was taking place and that no one was willing to come forward in order to do anything. So both of them have this lashon of Vayar. Moshe saw this injustice taking place. And Pinchas saw this injustice taking place. And both of them, though not men of war, so we know specifically by Pinchas ben Aaron HaKohen, he's a man of peace, he's a son of Aaron, offspring of Aaron. Yet both of them came forward and carried out the execution of individuals before them who were violating terrible crimes of immorality. There are other elements too that I would put forward to compare these two individuals. Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchos in the Maaseh HaEgel. And in order to keep the peace, Pinchas also does a shocking act in the killing of Zimri. Both of them acted without permission. We know that when it says that God told Moshe Rabbeinu to recreate the luchot that he had destroyed, Asher Shibarta, Chazal tell us, and so important is it that it's in the very last pasuk as well in Chumash in Rashi's commentary, Yishar Kochecha Sheshibarta. God did not tell him to break these luchos. It was his decision on his own to break them. And yet, God recognized the greatness of Moshe's decision. And so too, with reference to Pinchas, he was not told by any tzivui from Ribbono Shel Olam or from Moshe Rabbeinu to go ahead and directly do this at the time. But you remember the halacha of Kanayin Pogim Bo when it comes to Baal Aramis, if someone is having relations, especially publicly, with a non-Jew, that one is permitted, one whose blood is boiling over, one who is zealous for Ribbono Shel Olam is allowed to kill such a person. So he too, without what we'd usually consider a direct sivui, yet went ahead and carried out this action. Both of them would receive schar for what they did. The broken tablets of Moshe Rabbeinu, as a result of that act, were put into the Aron, along with the new tablets. The act of Pinchas, which broke the peace, is in fact memorialized, we know, in the word Shalom in the Torah, when God says that he was giving him his covenant of peace. The word Shalom has a vav that is a cut vav to show that Pinchas broke the peace in the camp, and thus he was memorialized through this broken element as well, just like Moshe had his act memorialized through the broken tablets. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we all know, was the Rabban Shel Yisrael. He was Rabbeinu. He was the teacher of Klal Yisrael. What about Pinchas? It is interesting. The Rambam says in his introduction to the Yad HaChazaka the following statement. Even though the oral Torah was never written down, Moshe Rabbeinu taught it in full to the 70 elders. ve'Elazar ve'Pinchas ve'Yoshua shloshtan kiblu mimoshe. Elazar Kohen, Pinchas ben Elazar Kohen, and Yehoshua, the three of them accepted them from Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though it goes on to say that Yehoshua would be the one, as we know, who would be the Mamala Makom, the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, but yet, as it's listed here, if there is an importance to the Rambam's language and sequence, it would seem that at least at this point, Pinchas may have been considered to be even greater than Yehoshua. We will have more on that later on. In terms of Pinchas' level as a Navi, we said we know Moshe is a Navi, and we are told Eliyahu is like Moshe, he's a Navi, but what about Pinchas? Is he a Navi? He's a Kohen, he's not a Navi. But actually, in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, and Rashi there, in the famous statement, Tanya Harbini V'im Amdulahem L'Yisrael Kiflaim Chiyotzei Mitzrayim, Ela nevua shehutzrecha ledorot nichtava shelohutzrecha lo nichtava. We are told in the Gemara that actually there are many more prophets than those who are listed in Tanakh. However, it was only those prophecies that were necessary for future generations that would be written down. Those that were not, and were just individual experiences that so many people had throughout the ages, those were not written down. The prophecy that was needed throughout the generations, we know there were 48 prophets in that regard, and Rashi goes through and lists them, and among them he says Pinchas. Pinchas was in fact one of the Nevi'im. So that now that we have equated both Eliyahu Navi and Pinchas with Moshe Rabbeinu, the only question that needs to be asked now is why was it then that Pinchas was not the one who was chosen to take the place of Moshe Rabbeinu? In Melachim Aleph, Yud Tet, Psukim Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, we read, Vayomer Tsev Amata Bahar Lifnei Hashem, Bnei Hashem Over Ruach Gedolah V'Chazak M'Parek Harim U'Shaber Sla'im Lifnei Hashem, Lo Baruach Hashem, Yachar Ruach Rash V'Lo Barash Hashem, Yachar Rash Eish, Lo Ba'Eish Hashem, Yachar Eish Kol Demama Daka. We are told that Eliyahu Navi, when he has an experience of God, that God was not in the great wind and not in the great fire, God was not in the great noise, but that God was in the still, small voice. In the Mayam Loes, where we have looked before, it says, "B'tchila amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu malacha po Eliyahu." We're told by this source that God, when he said to Eliyahu, in a quote we previously had, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? That Eliyahu was hiding in the crevice, in the crack where Moshe Rabbeinu was hiding. When Moshe Rabbeinu had Ribono Shelom pass by him when he was on Har Sinai. And now here at Har Chorev, also Har Sinai, Eliyahu is trying to imitate Moses, so that God says to him, do you want to be like Moshe Rabbeinu? V'halohu aya sanigorim shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a defender of Klal Yisrael. U'masar nafsho aleihem. And he gave his life for Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know. And he gave his life for Klal Yisrael. As we know, after they worshipped the golden calf and God wanted to destroy the people and start a new people with Moshe Rabbeinu, that he said, Mecheni na misifrecha. He said, wipe me out, but save the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu did anything he could to defend the Jewish people. Biata eincha kach. God said to Eliyahu, you, however, Eliyahu, are not like this. Zayato chachal Eliyahu ala tzirat hamatar liYisrael. This was a admonishment to Eliyahu for stopping the rain from coming, the moisture coming to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, that's why God brought him to this place. L'lamdo shelokein nahag Moshe. To show him that this is not the way of Moshe Rabbeinu when a similar situation came before him where there was a possibility to accuse the Jewish people. And he indicated, he hinted to Eliyahu that such was the case when he said that God, he was not in the noise. She'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu maskim b'kol ma she'yaseh b'rash u'b'chardat haruchot. That God does not agree when someone makes a tumult and a great noise against Klal Yisrael. V'gam lo ba'esh. And this is what he meant to tell him when he said that God was not in the fire. Man she'naseh ba'esh hakas. That God is not to be found, Eliyahu, in the anger that you generated against Klal Yisrael. Ela b'kol d'mama daka. Rather God can be found in the quietest moments, in the moments when Moshe Rabbeinu, in his attempts to save Klal Yisrael, merely said, wipe me out from your book, when he was willing to stand up for the Jewish people, something you were not able to do. We know the Gemara Yushalmi says, Sanhedrin Perek Tet, Halacha Zayin, in regards to what Pinchas did, Tani, it's taught, Shelo Beratzon Chachamim, he did what he did not with the agreement of the sages of the time. Upinchas Shelo Beratzon Chachamim, Amar Rav Yehuda Ben Pazi, Yehuda Ben Pazi said, Bikshu Lindoto, they wanted to excommunicate him. Yomalei Kavsa Ruach HaKodesh, the Amra Vahitalo Zaroach Harav Rikunat Olam. If it wasn't for the fact that a heavenly voice came forth and said that Pinchas would be rewarded for his action, the Chachamim would have excommunicated him. So we see that Pinchas' action was not all that great as was thought. The fear was, of course, as the Torah Tamima points out, to Bamidbar Kafe Yud Gimel, he says that since this kina, this zealotry, had to be truly just for the sake of heaven and for the kavod of Hashem, therefore this gave permission to any individual to go ahead and to attack any person with the claim that he was doing this l'man Hashem. And that's why, even though in this unique case, it may have been permitted for Pinchas to do so, Chazal saw this as something very dangerous and something that was halacha of Eino Morin Kein, halacha that we do not carry out except for that unique one-time perhaps experience by Pinchas. It's fascinating that in Parshat Pinchas is where we have the change of leadership from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua. And I had raised the issue before that the Rambam lists Pinchas prior to Yehoshua in his discussion of the leadership of Klal Yisrael and how Moshe taught those who would then teach the rest of the nation. We are told in Bamidbar Kavchet at Vav Kav Gimel, Yivkod Hashem Elokei Haruchot L'chol Basar Ish Al Eida, that God is entreated by Moshe Rabbeinu that he should choose someone, a person who is capable of dealing with everyone in the congregation? Who is this person who Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps is thinking of? The Sefer Amud HaEmet, we have the statements of Rav Menachem Mendel Mikotsk. The Kotzke Rebbe asks, Madua lo bikesh al kach Moshe ad ata? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu now specifically asks that God appoint a new leader? Why didn't he ask miyad? He says, kishinoda lo ki lo yikanes laretz. Why didn't he ask in the previous parsha, two parshas previously of Chukat, when he then learned that he would not be going into the land of Israel? And the Kotzker answers, Mishum shekodem maase zimri, chashav ki bivadai yimalei mikomo Pinchas kadosh Hashem. Because before Parshas Pinchas, in the act of Pinchas, in becoming a zealot, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even think to request from God to appoint anyone, because he had no doubt that Pinchas would be the appointee from the Ribono Shel Olam to replace him. After all, we have seen it again and again, and we've said how Moshe Rabbeinu and Pinchas were so similar in nature, in character, and in their life's actions. Aval ata, acharei shira'a kinato l'shem Hashem, but after he saw, Moshe saw, what Pinchas was capable of, af shaya davar gadol ma'od, shelo na'aroch elav kedushato. Even though it was a great, incredible thing that Pinchas did, certainly his kedusha was not to be taken from him as a result. V'Hashem yiparach amar hinini noten lo et briti shalom. Furthermore, God rewarded him with this incredible covenant of peace. V'yatzar et amagifa mi'al b'nei Yisrael. Moreover, Pinchas' action saved thousands of lives, saved the plague from coming upon Klal Yisrael for their terrible transgressions. Af al pichein, but even so, Amar Moshe. Moshe said, Kanai lo yachol liyot manig Yisrael. Someone who is a zealous person to that degree, an extremist like Pinchas, is not capable of serving as a leader of the Jewish people. V'zot v'keish ata yifkod Hashem ish aleida. And that is why only at this point did he make the request that a new leader be found for Klal Yisrael. We thereby see something very fascinating. We have identified, according to Chazal and is well known, Pinchas with Eliyahu. Both are considered to be, of course, Kanayim. And then we also identified next Eliyahu with Moshe Rabbeinu. And finally, in making the, we identified, we saw Chazal also did, and we gave our own examples, Eliyahu with Moshe Rabbeinu. So where do they differ? And we have seen where they differ. While they all related to each other, while they all very much had the same characteristics and personality, Moshe Rabbeinu stood out because Pinchas and Eliyahu were Kanayim in the sense that they both judged Klal Yisrael very harshly, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who attempted to always invoke the Midas HaRachamim with the Ribono Shel Olam. And so too, in occupying the leadership role, we are told by the Kotzker that that is why Pinchas was not Rawi to be the Mamale Makom of Moshe Rabbeinu as he was supposed to be, because he was like Moshe. But he could not do so once Moshe saw that he had this trait of extremism within his soul. Indeed, We might suggest that that is why Eliyahu HaNavi is someone who's going to be the harbinger of the Mashiach. But he will not be the Mashiach himself. One might have suggested someone on that Madrega, Eliyahu, on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, we are told. That individual who never died himself, who can come back at any time and will one day to redeem the Jewish people, to be a part of the redemptive process. So if he can do that, let him be the Mashiach. Why does he only have to usher in the Mashiach? But no, Eliyahu, because he also would not judge Klal Yisrael favorably. So he could not be that Redeemer. Be it Moshe Rabbeinu, be it the Mashiach, the leader in Klal Yisrael, who will lead us to the redemption, must be an individual who shares that primary trait to the Ribbono Shelom of Rachamim. Only then can we hope that the leaders of Klal Yisrael will lead us to do tshuva shlema and return to the Almighty, and we may see, therefore, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.